Our theme is love where you live. Love where you live. And that's really what Jesus said here. He said, when you think about the law and the prophets, you have to understand you love your God, you love your neighbor, and you love yourself. And I think Sharina is going to tackle something about who's your neighbor, and then Eddie will tackle the problems with that. So I don't want to tread on their ground. I'm just kind of introducing it this morning. And so as I thought about this message, and I knew it would have to be shorter because we have communion today, the thing that kept coming over and over in my mind is Jesus' great example of serving. Because that's what we're asking people to do. We're asking you to love where you live, to love your neighbor. And how do you do that? And what does that mean? And who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? And all that's going to be covered. But I thought, one of the greatest examples of what it means to love where you live is the life of Jesus. How many know that Jesus loved where he lived, right? The Holy Land. He loved where he lived. The last sermon I preached before I was gone for the 3 Sundays, I preached at the about the woman at the well. And I preached about Jesus going from Judea to Galilee, and normally they would circumvent. They'd go around, not circumvent, but they would go around Samaria because they hated the Samaritans. But Jesus loved the Samaritans, so he took a detour and went right through Samaria and won an entire city to himself. Amen? An entire city to himself because he took a detour through Samaria. And he loved where he lived. And he lived in the Holy Land, and he loved there. No matter where he was, he loved, and he served where he lived. And that's the commission and the call of this particular series. And I want you to turn now to John chapter 13, if you would, please. John chapter 13, and I'm not going to read all of verses 1 through 17, but I want you to get the crux of what Jesus did. And he did this around communion. And this is the account of what we know as the Last Supper, when Jesus met with his disciples and he let them know that he was going to be leaving them, that he was going to be betrayed. And so it starts at verse 1. It says, now, 13:1, John 13:1. Now, before the feast of Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, Jesus rose from supper. And watch what he does. And he laid aside his garments. He took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them and with the towel with which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter. And Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? And Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you really don't understand now, but you will know after this. And Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, then not only my feet, but my hands and my head also. And then Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him, and therefore he said, you are not all clean. And then, if you skip to verse 14, he said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. I say to you that a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus loved where he lived. He served wherever he went. Wherever he went, he touched people, and he loved them, and he served them. And he broke the social norms in order to do it, i.e. the woman at the well. He spoke to a woman, which he was not supposed to do because he knew she had a need. And Jesus, wherever he went, he was not allowed to touch leprous people. That was against the law. But he embraced leprous people. Amen? Because he knew one of the greatest needs of a leper, other than the healing of their physical body, is just for someone to know that somebody cares enough to be with them. The great story of Father Damien in the Hawaiian Islands, the island of Molokai, that leper colony that he felt led of the Lord to go to and to embrace the leprous people who were isolated and sent there to die. He went there because he loved them. He knew that that God loved them. And he wanted more for them than despair. So he went there and he built a hospital and he built he did some cleanliness stuff and began to teach them of how to take care of themselves. And though he knew that probably all of them would die of leprosy, and the fact that he himself might die of leprosy, he loved them and he embraced them and he taught them that just as he embraced them, that God wanted to embrace them and won many of them to Jesus Christ. And every morning he would greet them, but one morning they noticed a difference. When he greeted them something to this. I don't know the exact words, but he greeted them like this. He said, "I greet you this morning, my brothers and sisters, with the same affliction." Because he had contracted leprosy himself, died on that island, because he wanted people to know that Jesus cares even about the lepers. Amen? You can translate that out to drug addicts and alcoholics and people that have AIDS. And you can just translate it all out. Jesus loves people. And he served people. And one of the interesting things about this passage is that it was at that Last Supper and Judas was there. And he even loved Judas. But the Bible says that the first thing he did was he took off his outer garment, and the disciples wondered, "What are you going to do?" Took off his will, as it were, and he was about to do the Father's will as he ministered to those people. And then the Bible says that he grabbed a towel. He picked up a towel. Now, I don't know what kind of towel Jesus had. This is just a plain old towel that we keep underneath the stairwell. But it represents this morning the message that Jesus wanted to serve those disciples. And so the Bible says that he laid aside his garments, took off his coat, as it were, and he took a towel and he girded himself. Now, I'm not sure I can gird myself with this towel. I'm not trying to make a fashion statement today. But he girded himself with that towel. And the disciples are looking at him and saying, "What in the world is the master doing? What's he doing?" Because Jesus was acting like a servant. See, towels were for servants. They weren't for the served. They were servants. He laid aside his garment. And I believe when we think about serving our city, when we talk about serving our community, when we talk about serving our loving where we live, when we talk about loving our family, we have to lay aside our will. That coat that I took off would represent my will. I chose to wear it this morning. Two reasons. One, I have to pack it, my suit and several things in my suitcase for the trip to convention. And I didn't have room for that, so I got to wear it. But it represents my will. That's what I chose. I didn't ask Cheryl this morning, as I do sometimes, "What shall I wear this morning?" That was my will. That was my choice. And had she said, "That I don't want you to wear that this morning," I would have followed my will. And we may have had to have marriage counseling. No, that coat represents my will. and my desires and my choices. He laid aside his garment. He was laying aside his will and was going to do the Father's will. And the Father's will that he, it was that he would serve as an example, that he would love as an example. The greatest act of love that Jesus could do at that Last Supper was to wash the disciples' feet. And so he took this towel and he girded himself with this towel. The towel, what does it represent? To me, the towel represents the tool of the servant. This is what the servant does. We won't do it this morning, but if I were to wash your feet, I would call you up and sit you on the front row, and I'd have a basin of water or a pitcher of water, I'd pour it in a basin, and I would take your feet, take your shoes off, your socks off, and I would pour water over your feet, and I would dry it with this, and it would be pretty embarrassing to some of you. Because let's face it, our feet aren't the most gorgeous part of our bodies. Now you say, well, not mine. I won a foot beauty contest once. Well, congratulations to you. The fact is, I wouldn't with my feet. Got the toenails, you got the, anyway, on and on. I don't want to get gross, but... But Jesus looked past it, and I can only imagine what he had to wash as he washes the disciples' feet. They wear sandals, they've got dirt, they've got grime, and even though their feet were probably washed by a servant when they came into the supper, those still are pretty grimy feet and feet that are weary and worn. And Jesus takes every one of those disciples, including Judas, and he pours water in the basin and he begins to wash their feet as a symbol of servitude and love. And then he took the towel and he dried each one of them. By the time Jesus was done, he had some of the dirt and the grime of each disciple on that towel. Yet every time he washed their feet, he still held that towel because he didn't mind the dirt and the grime. Because he was loving them and serving them. To me, this morning, the towel represents the tool of service. How can we love where we live? What are some ways we can do that? I was traveling, as you know, I logged about 1,358 miles, but who's counting this last trip through Idaho and the different places that I had to go. And I, on my way back, I was going to make the whole trip back. I wanted to be home on that Sunday night. And so I stopped along 84 for some dinner. Gassed up and went into this little diner, this little hamburger place to buy something for the road. And as I am standing there waiting for my order, I'm noticing a little couple. And they've got a gorgeous little baby. I mean, she is gorgeous. And she's got really dark black hair, and mom and dad's just a young couple, and I hear them talking, and daddy's goo-gooing, and mama's, you know, and then I felt something inside. I felt a tug that they had a need. And so I'm waiting for the opportunity, and I'm thinking about this community series, Love Where You Live, and I thought, I don't live here. I live in Battleground, but the need is 5 feet away from me. So for that moment, I said, I think it was Boardman I was at. I can't remember right now. But I said, for this moment, I live in Boardman because that young couple has a need. I just sensed that in my spirit. And so my order came, and I got ready to leave, and I knew that in my wallet I had tucked back some money. Because I heard the mom say, this young girl, she said, can you go out to the car, they were traveling, and get the wipes and the diapers? And I know what that's about. I'm a grandpa. And so the husband went out there, and when he came back, he didn't have very much. And so I said, yeah, I want to do this. And so just as I got ready to leave, and they didn't ask for anything, I walked over to the table and I said, you have a gorgeous baby girl. What a gorgeous baby. And they said, thank you. And I told them about my grandkids. And they said, she's beautiful, but I have the most beautiful grandchildren. No, I didn't say that. And I said, can I bless your daughter? And they stopped for a moment, and then they smiled, and they lifted her up like I was going to do a blessing that way. And I'm doing this, I'm reaching into my wallet. I grab this bill that I had in there, and I handed it to the dad, and I said, I want you to use this for whatever your daughter needs, or whatever you guys need. I want you to have this as a blessing from the Lord. And they just were stunned for a moment, a total stranger. And you got to be careful these days, because I don't want to come across like some person that's taking advantage or whatever. I didn't want to stay long. And I said, but this is for you. And I put it in his hands, and I held his hands, and I said, I just want to bless your daughter. And I left real quick before they could react. And as I got into the car, I looked up, and they were looking out the window with such a smile and begin to wave and holding up the baby in the window. And I felt like for just a moment, I lived in Boardman, Oregon. And I loved where I lived. You see, the truth of this towel is that towel wasn't just lost, or wasn't just left in the upper room of the supper. This towel goes wherever we go. It represents the way we can love where we live. It may be a jack for somebody that has a flat tire and you stop to help them. Could be the towel. It could be a plate of cookies that you take to a new neighbor. It could be the towel. The towel could be a meal for an ill neighbor who's going through a difficult time and you choose to take a meal to them. It could be a lawnmower. The towel could be a lawnmower that you take to some elderly person's yard who needs to be mowed and they're not able to do it themselves. It could be this time of year a leaf rake to go out to the neighborhood to love your neighbors and pull the leaves off the grade so the water won't back up. The towel could be a prayer that you pray for someone in one of the stores in our community, and you meet someone and they have a need and you take the time to pray for them right there. It could be as simple as a hug for someone that's just having a rough time and you ask permission. Can I hug you? Can I hug you? And it could be a note that you send, a little handwritten note. I know email's the thing, but there's something about, right, Kathy? There's something about the handwritten note that says, I'm thinking about you, I love you, and I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. It could be any of those things and so many more. That's what the towel is. The towel was Jesus' way of loving where he lived. And you and I have the same opportunity to love where we live. Amen? Now, you may live in Battleground. You may live in Amboy. You may live in Yakult. You may live in Brush Prairie. You may live in Hawkinson. You may live in Vinersburg. You may live in Vancouver. You may even live in Oregon. And maybe you're here and you live in California. And yes, you can do it in California. Amen? That's right. That's where I'm from. And people need love there. But he took the towel. The towel represents loving people. The Bible says he girded himself with a towel and he began to pour water on them. It is the most humble of expressions, this foot washing. I wish we had time this morning, and I would probably ask someone to come up and wash their feet, but we don't. But it's the most humble of expressions of what Jesus did. Because in order to wash their feet, he had to get on his knees and go to the lowest part. And Peter was so revolted over that, because Peter said, You're never going to wash my feet. You're never going to take the place of a servant. And Jesus says, if I don't, Peter, then you have no part of me. And then Peter quickly reacted and said, then just don't stop with my feet. Just give me a bath. Just wash me all over. You see, the towel, and this is what I want you to remember this month. Every sermon that's preached about this community series, and all these pastors are doing it differently. You know, I don't know if this is what they had in mind, but it's what I had in mind. But I want you to remember the towel. You don't have to literally take a towel, but remember the towel represented the ways in which we can love where we live. Where we can love where we live. What you can't do, to end the sermon, what you can't do is throw in the towel. You can't throw in the towel. You can't give up. You can't give up loving people. You can't give up serving people. You can't give up on people. It's ironical to me. 2 days ago, I was driving through Battleground. And I tried to get into that lane, you know, because when you get down by the old library building, you have to turn right if you're in the wrong lane. So I tried to get in, and I turned on my signal and tried to get in, and a guy in a big, black, shiny new truck literally came within inches of hitting me to get that spot. The funny part about it is that I was on the phone, on the earphones, with somebody that was sick, and I was trying to console them. But when he did that, the human side of me came out. How many know your pastor has a human side? And as he did it, I went, "You jerk, what are you doing?" And I heard the phone hang up. Oh, no. So I called the person back real quick. Said, "Hello? Are you there?" He said, "Yeah, Pastor, what you want?" I said, "This happened just..." I didn't even hear you. Well, thank God. Thank God. Now, I know that you would never do that. You know, I'm the one with the problem, but you would never say that, but I did. And then the Lord spoke to me and said, love where you live. Even him. Wow. So I'd like to say this morning, I will gladly, Lord, love anybody in Battleground except him. No. The Lord convicted me so strong. He was ahead of me. And as he turned off, I began to pray for him. I don't know who he is. I thought, who in my church has a nice, shiny, black, new truck? I began to pray for him, and I repented. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. He shouldn't have done it, but that was not a good reaction. I haven't been here for 3 weeks, and so you can tell I need to get saved again, right? But I prayed for him, and I said, yes, Lord, even him. We need to be willing to love where we live, even people who it's hard to love. Because that's what Jesus did, right? To the Judas, he washed Judas's feet, the one who would betray him. Don't throw in the towel. Don't give up. Don't give up on loving people. Never give up. They could be this close from coming around. Because love is like water. When it goes long enough on the rock, it'll take away the rock. Just keep pouring on the love and love where you live. Will you do that? Will you do that? Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Father, thank you for your example of loving where we live. Thank you for this community series. Lord, I know Sharina and Eddie will just really bring this whole thing together. But as it kicks off this morning, help us to touch our community. And not just our community, but wherever we are, we can live in Boardman for 5 minutes and love where we live. We can be anywhere. We can be in Samaria and love where we live. Help each of us to make the decision this very morning to pick up the towel and to serve. To pick up the towel and to love where we live. Let us start with our own families and be willing to serve them and to love them. And then our neighbors, and then maybe friends that we know, and then maybe total strangers. Compel us, Lord, show us how we can love where we live, so that at the end of the day, people will see Christ within us. We thank you for it in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Let's thank the Lord for his word today. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Say hi to someone on your way out. It'll be busy in the parking lot, but thanks for coming to church today. God bless you.